Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 18 Summer Show. We are your hosts, Jim
and Jamie Shields. We're here to help you bring family back.
In the last decade, we've helped thousands of families create the family life that you have always wanted.
We give you simple solutions on how you can ignite your family life and succeed in both business and at home.
And please remember, time is of the essence. You only have 18 summers to truly connect with your children.
So let us help you make the most of it.
Hello, 18 Summers Tribe. We're excited that you're here today. We want to welcome Andy Hill. He's going to talk to us about family and marriage, children, finances, most importantly. His podcast, Marriage, Kids, and Money, could definitely serve you and your tribe at home. And that's why we have him here today. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you so much for having me, Jamie. I appreciate it.
So let's get right to it. You've got two young ones at home. I didn't ask you, boys, girls.
I have an 8-year-old daughter named Zoe and a 6-year-old son named Calvin.
Beautiful. So talk to us about finances in your home and how you guide others. I know in our work, we talk about core values, your family's core values, kind of being that spaghetti strainer that all decisions get made through. And it's just the lens in which we see our world as our family. And we revisit those values regularly. And we know when we don't stay on line with those values, because something just feels a little off, the train wobbles, right? And then you kind of have to bring it back. But knowing those values keeps you centered. So talk to us a little bit about financial values.
You know, what you do with your family is a great way for a lot of families to start, because the way you develop those values can then influence how you use your money. There's lots of quotes on, like, you talk about what you care about, but then show me your budget, and that's what you actually care about, right? So what are you spending all of your money on? What are you spending the majority of your money on? Because that's really what you value. So for us, you know, what we like to value, because we are a family, is family first. So what are we going to do to not only have a great time today, but also set ourselves up for a great future tomorrow? So my wife and I have a great balance, a great yin and yang. She's always making me say, hey, we only have today. You know, we've got an opportunity to enjoy what we've got now. And I'm on the opposite side being like, well, hey, what can we do to invest now so that we have this incredible future? So between the two of us, we're humming, you know? I mean, and sometimes that causes some strife on who's right and who's wrong. But as we're having those conversations, we end up balancing each other out. And that becomes our core values as a family, you know, planning for today so we can have some great times tomorrow, but then also really enjoying times together as a family.
Is this something that you communicate with your children and model? How do you guide them into that same thought process of having a balance between enjoying now and preparing to enjoy later as well?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And yes, we do our best to model that. Not only are we meeting in person once a month, my wife, to review what we call our budget party. So we get together and we review our budget together. And with that, we make sure that those core values, the things that we appreciate the most, are in that budget. With that, our kids are seeing us do this, having conversations about it. But more importantly, we have conversations with them. I've read statistics that kids are getting their financial impression on life as early as 7 years old, and that sticks with them. So if you have some of those conversations early on about the importance of money, what it can do for you, and the fun that comes with money too, I think that you can really make an impression early on in life. And so we've done some traditions with our kids to help them remember that. You know, we do things like a chore and reward program. We have a tradition that we call the Big Give, where we have the kids save up their money for a couple of months, and then we talk about charities that we're very excited about giving to, and then they can choose what charity sort of calls to their heart. So we're having different conversations about working hard and saving your money and what it can do to help others. And at the same time, you know, we talk to them about smart spending habits as we go to the store, and we learn about what a smart purchase is. And so we're having conversations along that whole spectrum, even towards investing for the future as well.
And now, how do you convince when you have young ones and you're like, oh, save your money because we're going to donate it to this great cause? How do you get them on board with this type of concept? Because I worked, I did a chore, I received a reward, which I'm guessing is a financial reward. Mm-hmm. And how do you convince them to now sock it all away and give it away?
Yeah. So the whole point is not all. And that's the key, right? So we've got five jars in our house right now. The first jar is for spending, because spending's fun. You know, you could buy your toy, you can buy things that you've got excited about. One's for giving, one is for saving, one is for investing, and then one is for college. So the majority of that money is going to go into the spending jar. That way they can have fun with it. They can understand that I work hard, I get to have some fun. We also want to instill the values of them. Just take a little bit of each of those other areas, because those are all very important. And then in the long term, it's going to make a big difference. So if they take, for example, let's say it's out of $10, the $1 goes to giving, or $1 goes to investing, $1 goes to college, and then $1 goes to investing. Saving. So we break it down in that area. They're still getting $6 to go and have some fun with and enjoy themselves. So the other ones are great conversation starters. So they might not get what investing is at 6 years old, but if we continue to seed that conversation every week or every month about what it can do, you show them the balances, you show them how compound interest works. They might not get the theory of it or how it works, but over time, that'll start to sink in. And over time, they're going to say, well, you know, ever since I was little, I just put a little bit into investing and it's made a big difference for me. By the time I'm 18 years old, maybe I've got $5,000 sitting there or something like that. And that can make a big difference for a kid in their future. And I think that's the whole point, is to try to build up smart habits with money as a kid. Maybe we're not fully convincing them of the merits of, you know, investing, you know, in stocks and bonds and all that, but if you just start with little habits, hopefully, we're hoping as parents that it'll stick as they grow older. With regard to charitable giving, that's personal too. For my daughter, that doesn't come as natural to her. For my son, he's really excited about it. He's like, hey, I actually want to take some more of my money out of spend and put it in give. And my daughter looks at him as like, are you nuts? That's more toys you can get. Why are you doing that? So it's very personal, but over time, it becomes a habit. And what we try to do to make it fun is we do that big give, and we get together every 3 months, and I try to make a little celebration around it. So we go and get milkshakes and we count up all their money together. And then I collect some videos from these websites that I think that they might enjoy. So I'll show them a video from the Nature Conservancy or a local organization here that helps people find homes if they're homeless, or my daughter loves the World Wildlife Foundation, you know, so she likes to help animals. So you watch those videos and they're like, oh, I get it. I really want to help. And so that starts to become a habit that they have for their entire lives, hopefully, as Dad's saying right now.
One thing that really got our kids on board with donating was we actually let them participate at these particular places. So the same way that you're saying, we watch some videos on these various organizations. And that's powerful because they see, oh, okay, so my money is going to go toward this. As they are able to, at their young age, participate in some of that volunteerism, it may increase their willingness to contribute.
I completely agree with you. And I really can't wait for that day, because I know that a lot of organizations, there's sort of like an age restriction, and I've looked into it a lot, but I'm very excited for when they get to that, just maybe a little bit older or a preteen, so we can get them involved, hands in, because I agree with you. There's one thing to giving your money, which is fantastic, but there's another thing with physically contributing with your work and your time. And I'm excited to have those two worlds meet in the future.
You use the word smart a lot. So you said smart purchase and smart spending and smart saving. And that word smart, is that one of your tools? Is that one of your key words that your children will recognize? Oh, Dad's talking about smart, whatever it is again.
I guess so. Maybe I do that. I think that there's a difference between spending and smart spending in my aspect. I think that you can go into a store and blindly buy things, or you can go in with a plan. You know, you can go and say, here's what I'm going to go buy. And you can do that as an adult with a grocery list, or, you know, anything as you're going into a store. There's nothing wrong with going into a store and buying what you want if you have the means for that. But if you are planning to use your money for a certain purpose, it is smart to go in there with that purpose, with that written down, to say, here's what I'm going to buy, or here's how much I have to buy, how much I have allotted, and I'm going to stick to it. So that's sort of the difference I feel like between, I guess, shopping and smart shopping, you know? So I try to instill that with the kids. So for example, Zoe and I went to Target with her $20, And she had an idea of what she wanted, but she didn't know exactly what it was. But we knew that we had $20. So we went into the store and I was so impressed with her ability to not just want to buy everything right away. I'm going to get that and that and that. She walked through the store, paced through and decided, okay, maybe this is what I want. Well, that's going to be too much. What if I got two of these instead of that? And that contemplative nature of the purchase, I think was fantastic and was smart spending in my aspect. So I feel like it's working.
And it's so important to involve our children in the everyday affairs of life. So if she had never been exposed to spending $20 somewhere and never been exposed to you and your wife walking through a store saying, okay, this is what we're here for. You know, just that mindfulness that we don't necessarily always think to teach our children, okay, this is what we're doing. But when you use that modeling from the top down, when you have that financial leadership and they get to see you do everyday life, they learn how to do everyday life. So I imagine she learned some of that from you guys.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a learned behavior and it's something she saw from us, but it's even something that I have to remind myself of on a daily basis. If I don't start my morning, because I like planning, if I don't start my morning by writing in my journal and saying, hey, here are the three things that I want to get done today, I can aimlessly walk through the day, you know, and say, what did I even do today? But if I wrote it down and I try to get those three things done, then I feel like accomplished. I feel like it's the same way with smart spending. You write it down, it's a plan, and you've done what you've intended. I always feel better when I do that with shopping or if I do that with just getting things done in the day.
And budgeting is budgeting, right? Whether it's our time, our finances, our energy. And you said something interesting that, you know, when you look at where are you spending your money, you know, that shows you what your values are. Yeah. And that might be an ouch statement for some people.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's really the epiphany for a lot of people. If you've never laid out your money in a way where it's like, hey, where is my money going? It can be an eye-opening moment. And that's always like the one piece of advice you'd want to give for personal finance. At a minimum, just take a look at where your money's going. And that can have an impactful moment on your life. And you could say, wow, I really didn't realize that we ate out that much. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but would I rather use at least half of that for helping my kids go to college or helping us save for retirement or go on more vacations? Whatever the idea is, it could be one fun thing for another fun thing, but at least looking at the numbers can help a lot.
Same thing goes with budgeting of our time, right? So if you think, oh, family's a priority, but if you look at your, you know, and you're on social media more than you are budgeting for your family time, you think, oh, my values aren't syncing up. And it always helps you know right where to get back to.
I completely agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. And now tell me some more about chore and reward. So you referenced it, but you know, so often we get asked, do you pay your children for their jobs? And we personally do not pay our children for their job, even our big kids. So we all contribute to the family. Mm-hmm. And we all get to do really great and amazing things. So we get to take trips around the world. We get to build a pool during quarantine. Just the things, you know, and we get to foster animals. Just the stuff that continually, you know, it takes money to do these things or to have mm-hmm. friends over for Pizza Friday. Well, 10 extra kids cost 10 extra, you know, pies or whatever. So you just think for us, we communicate that we're a team. And so we kind of move as one. They do have other jobs. Our two older teens have other jobs in which we encourage them to spend wisely. Or if they have a business idea, we may invest, you know, because we're a team and this is what we do together, we're happy to invest. You don't have to pay us on this investment, but you do have to pay us back. Like we don't need interest, but you do pay us back. This is how it works. So we definitely have benefits that come from doing your things that are part of contributing. But at this point, I've not yet heard of a system that I totally love for that reward portion. I don't think I necessarily do it right, but it's always neat to hear other perspectives. So chore and reward, what does that look like in your house?
I think that parenting, just like personal finance, is super personal. Mm-hmm. So what would work well for one family might not work for another. And I don't think there is a right or a wrong. I think there is a your family situation. So I'll tell you what we do, just as because it's worked well for us, is what we started probably when our kids were as early as four. We started a little chore and reward program. So every Saturday, the kids would get up and we'd lay out 3 chores that they could do. And they would be helpful, but like, you know, kid-sized, you know, so we'll empty the garbage together, or we'll have the little vacuum and you guys can sweep up, you know, the crumbs in the couch and things like that. Things that we would actually be doing as parents anyway, but then they are now doing. So we would give them 3 chores and we would pay them $1 for every year that they've lived. So Zoe gets $8 and Calvin gets $6. And then with that, we talked about how we break down the money when they receive it. But the point of us doing this, we feel, is that we want to correlate hard work with reward, because that's how life works, or that's at least how life works for us in our family. You work hard, you provide a value, and then you get money in return. So again, just like the investing and the giving, we want these little hints of ideas to become their ways of life as they get older, as they graduate from high school, as they graduate from college, when they're like, wow, man, I really like some more money. Well, I remember when I was a kid, if I worked hard, I got a reward. And I want them to have that same sort of ideal when they get older. There are families who like, hey, you know, being a part of this family, you get an allowance. That's great too. At least you're putting money in their hands to make decisions with, so that they can make mistakes, or that they can, you know, have successes as well. Because all of those are learning moments. And in the future, those learning moments will help define how they adult, you know, how they get by. So having those different options, I think, gives them an opportunity to learn and choose their path.
Now, what if they decide one Saturday that they're not interested?
Maybe. Oh, yeah, that never happens. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, no, it happens all the time.
Where does motivation come from? You know, I mean, maybe they would be motivated if they have something specific in mind that they need the money for.
Yeah.
Having teens now, I mean, we have a range from 17 down to 3 currently.
Sure.
And I have a very smart 15-year-old. I mean, they're all really smart. My 17-year-old would do it just because that's his personality. Like, hey, well, mom asked me and I'm going to do the thing. My 15-year-old would be like, what if I don't?
Yeah.
And so it seems to me that, you know, you have to find a motivation, right?
Or do absolutely. I mean, for us, we try to have some personal motivation. And we try to hit all of the buttons, right? I try to hit emotional motivation. I give them not only a monetary reward, but I give them my time, my attention, and my love after they finish that reward. And everybody likes it in a different way. Zoe likes me to get down on one knee, whisper in her ear, and tell her how much I appreciate everything she's doing and how it makes a big deal for our family, and I love her so much, and I pick her up and I spin her around. And that's like her thing. Calvin just wants me to spend a little bit of time with him playing video games. And like, so what I try to do is not only give him a monetary reward, but I try to give them that emotional parent emotional award as well. So some things like that can work. And then, punitive can work as well. Like things that they really love. If you don't do the things that are needed, required for the family, you can't get those. So for my son, he really likes this one video game that he likes to play. And for us, if you don't do the things that you want to do in the morning or that we need to do as a family to get them done, then you don't have that privilege of being able to play that video game. So we try to hit all the buttons. We try to hit the monetary reward, the emotional reward, and, you know, some, you know, things that they love. They can't have those unless they do the things that we need to have done around the house. So,
yeah, no, that's great. We do something similar in that we just communicate, wow, if mom gets stuck doing all of the crappy things that we could divide amongst ourselves, then mom's not available to do things like
exactly
go to the beach or go pick up wood. This morning we went and picked up wood for remodeling a boat for the 17-year-old. But if you don't do the things that have to happen before I need to get out of the door, then we just might not make it.
Yeah.
We all have that limited amount of energy.
Exactly. And that's a reality conversation you can have with them. I physically can't do all of the things in the house and help you with the stuff you want. So if we can all chip in together, and that's teamwork. That's like giving them the model for future business leadership, for being a great employee. Like everybody pitch in and we'll get to the destination that we all want to go.
And how beautiful that you give them that reaffirmation of not just like, oh, high five, you did it. But like you said, I get down on one knee and I whisper in her ear and I tell her exactly what she wants to hear. I think that's incredible for our listeners to hear, to be a parent that's so in tune to know this is the way in which I should communicate the appreciation.
What is that book? the five love languages. Obviously, that works well in marriage, but they also have one for kids as well. And so, you know, I read both of them and realized that my daughter likes to be loved in one certain way, and my son likes to be loved in another way. He's a time spent boy, and Zoe wants to hear those words of affirmation. So if you understand that, that can not only, you know, help you to accomplish the chores and everything like that, but it can also just be a great way to love your kids and parent.
That's so powerful. Thank you. Because love is also a currency, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a much more important currency for me than it is actual currency. So,
so what would 75-year-old Andy say to current Andy about marriage, kids, and money?
I would feel proud looking back and seeing some of these things that we've talked about today come to fruition. Because a lot of them, you know what? They're theories, right? There are some tried and tested and true theories from some great authors and, you know, some people that I've been able to read through. But I would hope that the hard work we've put in as a family to not only have fun today and save for the future and also instill some great values in our kids, they came to fruition. And I really think that they will. Obviously, there's lots of curveballs that come life, and we're experiencing all of the curveballs in 2020. So I would say, with a little grace and understanding that nothing is perfect, and just having, you know, the ability to realize that with time, the good things do come, and patience, I think I would be proud looking back as 75-year-old Andy.
I love that. With time and patience, the good things do come. I love
Absolutely.
That.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for sharing your wisdom on how to establish those financial core values and really getting in line with your spouse, setting some rhythms. You know, monthly financial meetings, like you said, you have with your wife, the children see it happening. They know what to expect. Communicating that, smart spending, smart shopping, being aware of where your money's going, and then modeling that down to your children is just incredible. Thank you for sharing how you love your children and how you love on them through love languages. I think that's hugely important for our listeners. That's something that we always guide our families into, because I know it's been great in our marriage and just everyone. I think they even have one for the workplace now.
It's a great model for everything, because yes, that could work really well for the workplace too. It's like different people in your work environment would need to be treated differently based on how they are. And that just makes so much sense. It's such a great concept. I appreciate that.
That's great. Yeah. Well, check Andy's podcast out, Marriage, Kids, and Money. Thank you so much for being here today, Andy. It was great to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care.